outlined by dust. My father stares at me while I sit across from him at the table, while I wash dishes in the basin, my back to him, the picked and festered bits of my hands in agony. He stares at me as I empty the wash water at the roots of Ma's apple trees. He spends long days digging for the electric train folks when they can use him, or working here nursing along the wheat, what there is of it, or digging the pond. He sings sometimes under his breath, even now, even after so much sorrow. He sings a man's song, deep with what has happened to us. It doesn't swing lightly the way Ma's voice did, the way Miss Freeland's voice does, the way Mad Dog sings. My father's voice starts and stops, like a car short of gas, like an engine choked with dust, but then he clears his throat and the song starts up again. He rubs his eyes the way I do, with his palms out. Ma never did that. And he wipes the milk from his upper lip same as me, with his thumb and forefinger. Ma never did that either. We don't talk much. My father never was a talker. Ma's dying hasn't changed that. I guess he gets the sound out of him with the songs he sings. I can't help thinking how it is for him without Ma. Waking up alone, only his shape left in the bed, outlined by dust. He always smelled a little like her first thing in the morning, when he left her in bed and went out to do the milking. She'd scuff into the kitchen a few minutes later, bleary-eyed, to start breakfast. I don't think she was ever really meant for farm life. I think once she had bigger dreams, but she made herself over to fit my father. Now he smells of dust and coffee, tobacco and cows. None of the musky woman smell left that was Ma. He stares at me. Maybe he is looking for Ma. He won't find her. I look like him. I stand like him. I walk across the kitchen floor with that long-legged walk of his. I can't make myself over the way Ma did. And yet, if I could look in the mirror and see her in my face, if I could somehow know that Ma and baby Franklin lived on in me, but it can't be. I'm my father's daughter. January, 1935. The President's Ball. All across the land, couples dancing, arm in arm, hand in hand, at the birthday ball. My father puts on his best overalls. I wear my Sunday dress, the one with the white collar, and we walk to town to the Legion Hall and join the dance. Our feet flying, me and my father, on the wooden floor, whirling to Arlie Wonderdale and the Black Mesa Boys. Till 10, when Arlie stands up from the piano to announce we raised $33 for infantile paralysis, a little better than last year. And I remember last year, when Ma was alive and we were crazy excited about the baby coming, and I played at this same party for Franklin D. Roosevelt and Joy City and Arlie. Tonight, for a little while, in the bright hall, folks were almost free. Almost free of dust, almost free of debt, almost free of fields of withered wheat. Most of the night I think I smiled, and twice my father laughed. Imagine. January, 1935. Lunch. No one's going hungry at school today. The government sent canned meat, rice, potatoes. The bakery sent loaves of bread. And Scotty Moore, George Knoll, and Willie Harkins brought in milk. Fresh, creamy milk straight from their farms. Real lunch, and then stomachs full and feeling fine for classes in the afternoon. The little ones drank themselves into white mustaches. They ate and ate until pushing back from their desks, their stomachs round, they swore they'd never eat again. The older girls, Elizabeth and Lorraine, helped Miss Freeland cook, and Hillary and I, we served and washed, our ears ringing with the sound of satisfied children. February, 1935.